sin was proliferating within the assembly. They didn't recognize it, nor did they deal with it. Paul, when he was writing to the church, he was beginning to explain what they needed to do. Were we? God has called us out of this world to be His. So if we examine ourselves, and you're claiming to be Christ, where are you? How's your heart? How's your conduct? God wants us to be yes for Him and no to the things of this world. I'd like you to take your scriptures this morning and turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. The verse says this, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened." And we're going to look at what this means, and it has to do with the two problems that was going on within the church at Corinth. Influenced by the world. Devastatingly influenced by the world. The world's thinking. The world's mind. So much so that when sin was proliferating within the assembly, they didn't recognize it, nor did they deal with it. Or they may have recognized they didn't like it, but they just didn't deal with it. And it was affecting their fellowship. It was just like this corrupting influence that was within the assembly, and it was spreading throughout the people within the pews. Second, they also had this misunderstanding because they really couldn't figure out how they were going to separate themselves from the worldly influences and the things that were happening in the world. And so Paul, when he was writing to the church, he was beginning to explain what they needed to do. Now, let me illustrate how a sinful culture can adversely influence us. And I think the best way to appeal is many of us are parents, and so most parents understand the dangers of a bad influence. They know it's not good to have their children hang around with a guy or a gal that, or even a gang of kids that really will have a bad influence on them. Maybe they come over to your house and you see that they have this bad attitude. Maybe the way that their friend is dressing and you see that, and you know, all of a sudden these flags start popping up in your mind and you say, there's just something wrong. And then you watch how they treat others and then the lack of respect they might show for other people. Perhaps you hear in the language that they're using, or where they go and they hang around all the time. And, you know, it's just a bad, bad thing how they speak about their parents. May even be just a gut. I know some of you have been there and you meet someone and you just say, I just don't like that person. You're reading some their body language. You're reading how they're acting, but you just know there's something that's desperately wrong here. And then you may even see the change that happens within your child as their attitudes begin to change and getting negative. And so what do you do? Well, very easily, when you start seeing these influences, a good parent's going to go and say, I don't want you to hang around with that guy or that gal. No way. Or you say, I don't want my daughter dating or even near that person at all. Mm-mm. That's off limits. And why do we do this? Well, we know that bad influences can affect our children. We know if we don't do this, we won't be protecting our child from the difficulties that will be taking place. And so we don't want you hanging around with that person. We want them to cut off that kind of relationship they have because their bad behavior will eventually rub off into our child and we may even lose our child. Let me illustrate it another way. We all know what sewage or a garbage dump can do to our water supply. You know, ever go up on 91 and you're going through Hartford, and as you just go through Hartford, you're heading north toward the airport, on your right-hand side, there is this mountain there and all these stacks coming up. Now, I remember as a kid, that was not a mountain. That was like a little divot that was there alongside the Connecticut River. And today, it's a mountain of trash. And they have to vent all the garbage, you know, at least the fumes that come from it. And so you don't want to live next door to it. You don't want to drill a well next door to a a leach field or a garbage. You just don't do that. And why don't you do that? Because, you know, my water supply is going to be polluted. I just want to be as far away from the toxic things that you can have. You know, safe distance is important. We know the idea of keeping ourselves away from things that may pollute. And it's the same idea that we're seeing within this passage here. Unchecked sin within the assembly eventually corrupts the believers and affects them adversely. Just like an evil child that's hanging around with your kid, eventually that's going to spill over and affect you. Just like a septic system, if it's there right next to your well, you just don't want to do that. Or the habitual sinning of a member can affect, in an adverse way, the assembly. You can see this. Look at verse 8 here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. He says this: "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Now, I want you to understand what he is referring to. He said the feast that he's talking about that we're to have is this new life in Jesus Christ. That's the feast. And he says, let's keep this new life we have in Christ, let's keep it separate. Let's not use the old leaven. The old leaven are those things from your past life. Let's not drag in the old leaven from your past life into this new life that we have in Jesus Christ. Because when you start bringing that baggage from the old life, it's going to corrupt everything else. There's this new thing out here. Your brain on porn. It's a whole website. It's a Christian movement that's trying to prevent men and women from getting into pornography because it affects you. 70% of men visit porn sites at least once a month. One out of every three women access porn sites every month. And so, I mean, it's become an epidemic. And these figures don't change when you're talking about Christianity. It's affecting the church just as much as it's affecting the world. And so what they do, they show scans of your human brain. A brain that does not observe porn. And they show a picture of it. Then they show your brain if you are on heroin. And you can see dramatic differences. And then they show your brain if you're watching porn. It is identical to the heroin addict. It affects you physically, and it affects your life. And it's amazing the things that take place. And that's just one area. Can you imagine what other areas do, how it can impact our lives and literally corrupt us? And then you bring that into the church. I mean, how does it affect our worship? It affects everything. So in the Jewish mind, leaven was this fermenting process that would corrupt. And so you got to keep the leaven out. It's the idea of making bread, and some of you understand what it is to make bread. My mom used to make bread. There was this Amish dish that I remember her making, and you would make this loaf, or at least the dough that would be there, and you would take it, and it would be fermented with the yeast and everything, and it would blow up. But you take a little piece off to the side, and you mix it in with the next loaf, because here you make this lump of bread, and then you kind of insert the old leaven into it, and then eventually you leave it off to the side of the corner, and this little thing that's about that high all of a sudden explodes open, and it just permeated that. Fermentation, that leaven affects the whole loaf. That's what sin does. That's the image that he's using here in verse 7. He says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. As you are in leaven, you understand that what happens when he says that you are in leaven. He's referring to you that when you have placed your trust in Christ, you have been forgiven of your sins, you have been cleansed. So what right do we, after we have been purged of our sins, to go and to take sinful activities of our past, bring them back into our life, now and pollute this new lump that we have been made in Jesus Christ? Verse 7 again. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. As ye are in leaven, and this is the reason why, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. That is this life that we're living in now. Not with the old leaven, not in the old way we used to live, not in the old thinking we used to have, but in the new thinking that we're supposed to have. Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And that's how we're to live our lives. And that's what he is referring to when he's speaking about this. We're to have a life free of sin, and we're to keep ourselves separated, and we're to keep this feast on a regular basis for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Corinthians here, they had a problem. And so let's look at this first problem that they were having. That problem was they had the ungodly influences of the world. It was impacting them. And as a result of that, they were not dealing with the sin within the assembly. So let's take a look at the sin that was within their assembly. Verse 1, chapter 5. He says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." Whoa, that's incest, folks. Verse 2. "And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you." In other words, there was a guy that was having this incestuous relationship with this woman here that was his father's wife. Probably even brought her into the assembly, or at least everybody within the assembly knew this was going on. He was a regular full-fledged member of this group of believers. He was professing Christ, and yet he was living in this grievous conduct, in this grievous way. Now, we understand allowing sexual immorality, and we have to know the types of things that take place not only in the pagan world, but in our world. For example, today, we know premarital sex and living together. We know pornography. I can name other things that would fit under the category of fornication, sexual activity outside the bounds of marriage. And even in our day, it's accepted in many places. That should never be accepted within the church. But it's accepted. You go into the workplace, and how many people do you know that are living together? Or before they get married, premarital sex. If you don't have the relationship with the person before, how are you going to know you're compatible, is what they argue. And then pornography and all those things that are considered fornication. And so after a while, that becomes accepted. That's standard. That's accepted. Now, there are certain things in our culture that are not accepted within the world's realms. That's pedophilia, voyeurism, incest. We prosecute them by the law, don't we? Well, that's what was taken. Even in the pagan world, even in the Corinthians' day, there were certain sexual activities that were just general that were happening. They had rampant divorce. They had people that would live together. They had those types of things that were going on a regular basis. No one really looked too badly on that. However, when you got to incest, even under Roman law, you would get prosecuted because that was considered wrong. Now, I just want you to go and look at the book of Leviticus. Just go to Leviticus chapter 18. Let's look under the law. So you'll understand that even within the Mosaic law, in secular law, it was forbidden, as well as within the Mosaic law. This kind of activity that this church was engaging or allowing someone to engage in was forbidden. Leviticus chapter 18, look at verse 7. He says, "The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The naked of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. And the nakedness of thy sister's daughter of thy father or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover." And so the law forbade this kind of activity. Incestuous activity was forbidden. Drop down to verse 29. He says, "For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the soul that commit them shall be cut off from among the people." In other words, they were to be thrown out of the fellowship within the assembly, even in the Old Testament. It was forbidden. I want you to go to Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22. Deuteronomy 22. Look at verse 30 when you get there. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 30. He repeats it again. He says this. He says, "A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt." The idea, it was forbidden. Forbidden under the Mosaic law, incest. It was forbidden under Roman law, prosecuting under the courts. And here we're finding, when you go back to 1 Corinthians, this is what was being practiced within by a member within the assembly. I mean, that, to me, is amazing. How in the world can they allow something like this to continually go on within the assembly? What a mess was taking place within this church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 3. Says this. Even the Apostle Paul now, as he's hearing about this, I mean, he's far away, as he's writing to the church of Corinth, and he says this, For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such one unto Satan, to the destruction of his flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. In other words, you should put him outside the assembly. You should treat him as an unsaved individual. And then, you know, you should not continually have this kind of fellowship. Now, the kind of fellowship you're to have with him, you're to pray with him, you're to exhort him, you're to encourage him to get back and do things right. That's what you're supposed to do. And leave him. And when you treat him like an unsaved person, then let God have his hand and work in this man's life. Because you don't want him to continue to pollute the fellowship, and not only that, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, these things ought never to take place. So Paul goes and he gives his judgment. Wow. But do we not see stuff like this taking place all the time now within the churches across our nation? The things that we're engaging in churches, now it ought not to happen here at Calvary, may not. I mean, but all these sins that just go unchallenged. Listen, God has called us out of this world, and he's given us a new nature. He's given us a new life. He has indwelt us with his Holy Spirit, and he set us apart, and he says, "You're to be holy. Be holy as I am holy." And what right do we have to go back into our old life? And now we're tempted to do this. Go back in our old life and to take those things of our old life and to bring them back into our life, you know, it is going to be a corrupting influence. It's going to be like leaven. And we do a little bit here, maybe do a little bit more of the old life, and then it can not only affect us, but then it's going to change us. Then we're going to be part of the assembly, and we're going to be sitting there in the assembly, and we're going to be affecting others within the assembly. Pastor John used to call it rebel radar. You know what rebel radar is? If someone has a rebellious spirit, you ever watch all the other people that have the other rebellious spirit? They kind of gather around that person that has the same rebellious spirit. It's like they have the sense. It's like radar. And they look and they check out the assembly. Oh, that person over there, I'm going to go and I'll be friends with them because they have this rebellious spirit just like me. I love that term because I've noticed over time that's true. One rebellious heart looks for another rebellious heart. Should not be so. So that's it was harming the assembly. It was harming their testimony. Look at verse 6. He says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" He says, don't glory in your freedom. I mean, why in the world was this church doing this? They were, oh, this is my liberty in Christ. I can do anything I want. All my sins are covered because of what Christ has done. Well, that may be true, but he doesn't give us a license to go into sin and sin and sin. Even God, later on, Paul says, God forbid that you continue on in your sin. Should not do that. He says, your glorying is not good. No, you're not. That little bit of leaven, boy, it not only is affecting you, it's affecting the whole lump. All your life, but also it's affecting the assembly. There was a second problem. Because they were so affected by this world, they really weren't sure, how am I to live my life now? I mean, if you're telling me to separate from this guy, how far do I go with separating from one another? Now, some of you have been in Christianity long enough to know that some groups within Christianity will have you separating from everybody. Eventually, the only person that's good is you alone, and you separate from everybody else but yourself because you're the only right person in the world. Now, that is wrong, and so that's insane as well. And so Paul is writing to them, and he said, listen, you're being influenced by this ungodly culture, but you're going to have to learn how to conduct yourself so you can keep the assembly as pure as possible and your life as pure as possible, but also conduct yourself rightly within this world. Well, I like that because, you know, we live in this world. I mean, I have a lot of friends. I mean, I was driving down, I was picking up Jose today for a service, and there's some people I knew. I was waving to them, you know, hey, pastor. You know, I was waving to them, neighbors, you know. And so I know my neighbors there, and, you know, I go and I talk to them and fellowship with them. So what do we do? How do we handle this? Look at verse 9. He says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to accompany with fornicators. Now, let me tell you, if we take that up front and as literal as possible, the next day you go into work, probably half the people you work with, you're not going to talk to. And that's what was happening. These people were going and they were hanging around, and they were anybody that was doing anything, they went to the nth degree, and the only one that was right was probably them. Verse 9. I wrote unto you an epistle not to accompany with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the coveters, or the extortioners, or the idolaters, for then must we needs go out of the world. Listen, if you're going to keep yourself from all those people, you can't even live. I mean, you can't even go down to the bottom store and shop. I mean, you're in all kinds of trouble if you're doing that. I mean, that's the world. They have no clue about who God is and the standards, and they don't even have the new nature that we have. We can't expect them to live that way. In fact, we're to love them. Isn't that what Christ did? He loved them. And he loved them because he wanted them to get saved. And the only way they're going to see our example, but also they're going to see that we care for them, genuinely care for them. I don't care what sin they're into. We can genuinely care for them and desire them to come to Christ and find the clear forgiveness that God provides for us. Well, the Corinthian church had no idea. I mean, they were out of kilter in every way. So he says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators yet, not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the coveters, or the extortioners, or the idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an adulterer, or a rallier, you know, in other words, a railer, a fighter, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one, no, not to eat. In other words, listen, if there are people that are having all these unregenerated activities and they are part of your assembly, he says, you know, listen, you have to be careful. Now, you can exhort them to get right. You can encourage them, but don't hang out with them all the time. You know, listen, because you're going to pick up just like that leaven. You're going to pick up some of that too. Encourage them to get right. That's your job. Then he goes on in verse 10. Yet not altogether for the fornicators of this world, or with the coveters, or the extortioners, or the idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company, if any man is called a brother, be a fornicator, or a covetous, or a idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? What right do I have to judge them? Do you realize that the world out there, they're judged already? We don't have to judge them anymore. We're to love them. We're to make sure that they come to Christ. He says, so what do I have to do with judge them without? He says right in verse 12, do not ye judge them that are within? We're to judge those that are within, though. I mean, they've made a pledge. They've, with their own mouth, they have said, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I have placed my trust in him. He is my Savior, and he has given me this new life. And I'll tell you, because of that, man, brother, you need to get right. Then he goes on, verse 13. But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, I know in our day that sounds harsh sometimes. Put away, purge the assembly of that one that is harsh. But I'll tell you, if we don't do that, the assembly can eventually be affected. People will know what's right, what's wrong. We're to keep ourselves separate unto the Lord. But also, we're to work within this world. So let's apply this. Where are we? God has called us out of this world to be his. So if we examine ourselves, and you're claiming to be Christ, where are you? How's your heart? How's your conduct? I mean, we can hide certain things. I mean, this guy that was living in incest, people knew that. I mean, how do you hide that? You can't really hide that. There's other stuff that we can hide. You can hide pornography. You can go and clear your history. No. Well, someone does know. You know who knows? God. He knows your heart. And you know that affects you because there's a break of fellowship with him when we do this. And when we have broken fellowship, tough to pray when you have broken fellowship. Tough to keep on living this duplistic kind of life. You know, we're religious and we're smiling on this side, but we're actively doing whatever the sin might be on the other side. It's really tough to even smile. You know inside you're lying. God wants us to be yes for him and no to the things of this world. And boy, I'll tell you what, when we do that, then we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can be used by him. That's his desire for us. And then when we're going out into the world, we're not to wear this righteousness that Christ has given like a badge of honor. We didn't deserve it in the first place. God loved us and he died for us and gave us this new life. We're to live for him. And when we go before our brothers and our friends within this world, and we have a lot of friends, we can love them genuinely, whatever sin they might be. We can care for them. But we also need to point them to Christ. And when our lives are right, boy, can we point them to Christ. Christ died to save us from our sins, that we can now have this new life in him. So where are you? God desires men and women to be people that are going to be living for him in every way. Can you say that's true with you? Why don't we pray?